So hard to live up to that introduction. Good morning. It's a good day today. Welcome. How many visitors do we have? Can I maybe see some quick hands? We have a few. Wonderful. Welcome. You are the most important people here. Who of you came against your will? That's how I ended up here. Yeah. You know, before we started, Ross said this, we all pray together, even if he asked everybody to pray together. Lord, let your truth penetrate my heart. Give me a revelation. You know, and so, for those who don't know me, my name is Martin Janssen, and I'm part of this church now for a few years. And, you know, you may ask yourself, well, Martin, who are you? And why should I care what you think or what you say or what you believe? I mean, why? What authority do I have this morning to say anything to a room full of people, especially strangers who do not know me from a bar of soap? And the only authority that I have, it's not because I'm a member of this church or a leader in this church or any activity I do here. It's because I'm a witness of something. That's the only authority that I have. I've seen something. I've experienced something real. And because of that, I bear witness. Okay? If you are able to observe my life without me knowing, if you are able to watch me, where I go, what I do, what I say, how I spend my time, how I lead my family, how I spend my money, if you could have an overview of my life, you'd be convinced that I believe something. And there's a name that you will hear everywhere I go. And even if you hear my name mentioned by other people that know me, that really know me, you'll hear a testimony. A testimony that Jesus is alive. How do I know this? How do I know that Jesus is alive? Well, I read it in the book. But Martin, everybody's got a book. They all have a book, ancient book. So how do you know that your book is the real book and it was translated correctly? And what about the parts that were left out? And then it's just a lot of fruitless arguments and discussions. And I want to say that there's a reality. It's more than reading a book. Reading a book not be good enough for me. If I didn't see evidence that that book is true, I wouldn't read the book. I wouldn't follow the book. I wouldn't believe the book. I need more than that. I need proof. Amen? Now, I want to say to you, maybe you're a visitor here. Maybe you came against your will. Maybe you're a skeptic like I was. I ended up coming to church because people nagged me for months. And I had all the arguments and all the discussions and all the questions. And really the people, even that witnessed to me, I felt didn't really have authority. Because I looked at their lives and I said, well, we are right and you are wrong. I said, but yeah, we are smoking cigarettes and drinking together, you know. But I ended up in a service like this at a very bad place of my life. And I've experienced two distinct different realities, two worlds, two kingdoms. I've known darkness and pain and depression and anxiety and fear and heaviness and pleasure and sin and corruption and rebellion and anger and hatred and violence. I've known these things. I immersed myself in them when I was young. I turned away from everything that was good and made my identity in enjoying what was evil and pleasurable. I know what it's like to be abused and damaged and molested and addicted and angry and full of hatred, to not know the love of a father or the encouragement, to not know who I am or what I'm supposed to be. For years, trying every single avenue that I could try and find or figure out to find relief, to forget my brokenness or my pain, to find meaning, to find love, to find hope, to find peace. I've done it all, seen it all, tried it all. And I just ended up in a place where I realized that life is empty and meaningless and unnecessarily painful, and I just wanted to die because there was nothing left for me. Who's ever felt like that? And then finally, I said, okay, I will go to church with you. Just please stop with this Jesus thing over and over. And I ended up in a service like this, 16 years ago now. They were singing songs to the ceiling, and you know, people were annoyingly friendly, you know. Hi, what's your name? Is it your first time? Yeah, have a slip. And all of these things. I stood like this with my arms crossed. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in church. I didn't want anything to do with Jesus. I didn't want to change my life. Like, literally was guilt-tripped into being there. But in that service, I started to get this strange, peculiar sense. There was something more than just people coming together. More than just songs. Things happened in the service that I couldn't quite understand. I couldn't explain. I couldn't explain how a lady could get on the stage and just start singing a song that she didn't know. The band played perfectly along. There was this atmosphere in this place. And I don't know what happened. I don't even know what they spoke about. Or I remember two strange men coming to me. Somehow I was standing with my hands in the air like this, and the one looked me in the eye and he said, Martin, your father has broken your heart, but God will show you the father's heart. And so while this man is saying this to me, I'm like thinking, well, you've never ever seen me before in your life. You don't know anything about me. We've never spoken. You've never even spoken to anybody that knows me, but yet somehow this person knows this. And then another man came to me and he said, Martin, you have to give your life to Jesus. And I really don't even know what that meant in that moment. So I said to Tony, look, Tony, I don't even know what that means. He says, close your eyes and pray with me. So I closed my eyes and he said, Lord Jesus. And I said, Lord Jesus. And he said, forgive me for my sin. And I said, forgive me for my sin. And it feels like an atomic bomb hit my spirit. Boof. Suddenly I was filled with light on the inside. I realized I'm completely deceived. I don't know anything about spiritual things. I knew Jesus is alive. Like I can touch this in that moment. He is alive. The Bible is true. Church is where I belong. Forever. I think Scripture calls that a Damascus Road experience. And God knocks you down. And He reveals Himself to you. His truth penetrates your heart. It's not just empty words. There's a revelation. The revelation is so strong that even when I don't want to serve Him, I don't really have a choice. When I don't want to obey, when I don't want to serve, when I don't want to give, when my will and my ways wants to war against the Spirit, I don't have a choice. The knee bows because Jesus is Lord. If you have a revelation that He's alive, then you understand He's Lord. There has been no other person ever who's had the authority to lay down his own life and take it up again. Think about that. And we can argue about Jesus and who we say He is. And you know, I used to be a blasphemer. I used His name in my old life more than I use it now. It convinces me that that is the name. When I watch movies and I hear that name slandered and cursed and used, then it convinces me that's the name above every name. I don't hear Hollywood curse the names of other gods. I only hear one name. And if you want to have a discussion with people, we can sit together and talk about God. And everybody can talk about God because everybody believes in some form of God somewhere, somehow. But if you want to argue with people, then you start to talk about Jesus. And then you will see where the lines fall. Because there's a separation. God is everywhere. But God is not everything. And God is not a general higher power, anonymous. He's specific, personal, individual. In 1 Thessalonians, it says this. We know that you are loved by God because our message comes to you not only in word, but with power and conviction and the Holy Spirit. It's not just words. There's evidence. Amen. I live for the evidence. And we are here and above all and over all and through it all and in everything. If you look at my life, I declare that Jesus is alive. It's the only testimony that really matters. All the other testimonies are a result of that testimony. People get excited about the miracles or healings or the deliverance or whatever it may be. The main thing is that Jesus is alive. Everything else just bears witness to that fact. Isaiah 52, listen to this. Lord says of him, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance so marked beyond human resemblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations." Jesus was beaten until his appearance was not that of a man. And so he sprinkled the nations with his blood. Because of that, the word is not empty. Because of that, the word has got power. Him we proclaim above all. Who has believed what he has heard from us? Isaiah 53. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. The real Jesus doesn't look like the image of the world. He came in humility. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Maybe you are sitting here this morning in your grief and your pain and you think, nobody knows how I am suffering. Nobody knows what I'm going through. It says that Jesus was acquainted with grief. He intimately knew suffering more than any other person. And surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Those sorrows that you are carrying this morning, there is one that will carry them for you. He will remove that heaviness, will remove that anxiety, remove that fear, remove that depression from you. One of the things the Lord showed me about this morning is some of us here are troubled by a spirit of heaviness. You're feeling low and down and sad and weary. If that's you, I'd love for us to pray with you at the end of this. You don't have to feel like that. Amen. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we have been healed. I'll tell you, one of the biggest lies in the world is addiction. The devil will let you experience an intoxicant that makes you feel good. It will make you relax. It will make you have a good time. Make you have fun. Make you forget your worries or your troubles. It's how it starts, a big party. Everybody's having a good time. Lots of friends. Lots of fellowship. Everybody's connecting on a deeper level. And before you know it, you're a slave. You're alone. The friends are gone. They've betrayed you or robbed you or cheated on you or whatever it is. And then it doesn't matter how much drugs you use, you never have peace. You never have joy. Or you have a moment and then a terrible week. He doesn't want us to be a slave. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. For our sin and our rebellion and our wickedness and all of these things that we get entangled in, Jesus was slaughtered. Like a lamb that was led away. He did not turn away. He did not object. He willingly laid down his life for us. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him for you and you and you and you and me. I've had the opportunity to evangelize in the streets in my life. And maybe we can... Where's the AV? Please put up the first the photo of the artwork. I work in Cape Town. Who's ever seen that? I think that building's in Buitengracht Street. Who has ever seen it? Show me. Okay. There's another building in Loop Street that's got the same or similar artwork on it. Okay. Next photo, please. See that building? That is Long Street, I think. It's probably 2 weeks ago. Show the next photo, please. There was a man sitting on top of the building on the rail, basically ready to jump. Well, we assume. Just go one back to show the height of that building. It's high. On that day, when I took that photo, I was late. So I struggled to find parking, and then here's a man like limping past, and I'm like, ah. And then I felt compassion, and then I had to like war with my own disobedience because I didn't want to pray for him really. So I stop him, what's wrong with you? His foot is injured. So I asked him, who is God to you? No, the big guy upstairs. No, well, who is the big guy? Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Who is God? Just general. So I said, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. Then I asked him, who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus your Savior? No. Is Jesus your Lord? No. See, there's a difference there. Who is he to you? That's the only thing that matters. The day I took that photo, I was actually prepping for this. I was reminded of Sodom and Gomorrah, but that's not really an encouraging theme. The thing of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the most prosperous place. The people were wealthy. They had everything there. Therefore, they indulged in all the earthly things. When I walked through the CBD on that day, probably within a half an hour, I saw it all. I saw rich corporate people going to meetings. I saw students. I saw foreigners. I saw tourists. I saw a lot of prostitutes. I saw somebody smoking heroin right there on the sidewalk without even batting an eye. And I saw a guy sitting on the top of a building ready to jump. Why am I sharing this? It's because there's a reality here in this world. Some of us feel like that. With a nice house and a nice car and a good job. But if we're not in Jesus, We don't have the hope. We don't have the peace. We don't have the assurance. Amen. Till we come to Him. When Nicodemus asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom?" Jesus said, "Read the book and go to church." No, and tithe. Read the book, go to church, and tithe. No. He said, "You must be born again." Amen. It's possible to sit in the meeting every Sunday to read the book and to tithe and not be born again. If you are not born again, you do not have new spiritual life in you. It was the most confusing thing to me to say the words of another person leading me in prayer, and suddenly I experienced a new spiritual birth, unexpectedly, without wanting it, without preparing myself, without getting ready. It was very confusing. But I realized there's a moment when you go from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to forgiveness and redemption. And if that happens to you, if you experience a new spiritual birth, that testimony is going to be on your lips. People will know. We come to Him, we humble ourselves, we repent and ask forgiveness for our sins. We put our trust in Him, and His blood washes us clean, and we receive eternal life. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is Ezekiel 36. If I paraphrase it, God says that I will take you from the places where you have been scattered. And when I hear the word scattered, it means destruction to me. Where you are lost, where you are broken, where you're not where you're supposed to be, where you are hopeless, where you are alone. And I will bring you near. And I will sprinkle clean water on you. And I will cleanse you of all your uncleanness. I know what it was like to be scattered, and I know what it was like to be astray. I know what it is like to be dirty and unclean and enslaved and addicted and in a prison. And God brought me near, and He sprinkled clean water on me. He cleansed me of all of those things. I used alcohol and cigarettes for 18 years. And in a moment, I was set free. I haven't had a cigarette now in, 16 years? 15 years, something like that. Instantly delivered. I was a drug addict that used drugs to the point where I tried to rehabilitate myself 3 times by going to a clinic, years of doing outpatient meetings and support groups and. Everything you need to do to battle addiction and win, did all of those things. I realized I'm powerless. And in a moment, God delivered me of all of that. I've never used drugs again. Ever. The things I gave myself to, I've never given myself to them again. I am clean. I am redeemed. I am made new. You will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. The heart of stone I will remove from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And in this part, and I will put a new spirit in you. And cause you, I'll paraphrase and say, to walk in my ways. He's saying, I'll put a spirit in you and make you live the way I want you to live. Empower you for this new life. And this is what Jesus has purchased for us. And today we remember when he died. Amen. Perhaps we can all stand to our feet. Because of what I've experienced those years ago, these words that I say will be the words that I say until I die one day. The message will never stop. It will never change. And I believe the Lord brings us to moments in our life. And some of us here have been at that place before, where we are brought to that place to respond to Jesus. Perhaps we have shrunk back. We're not ready, not yet, not now. And we have failed to step into that assurance that He has for us. But I believe there's a place to respond to the Lord. Perhaps we can just all close our eyes. It's a very simple question. This is the question. Is Jesus your Lord or not? If you can't say Jesus is my Lord, it means you do not have this new birth that I'm speaking of. You may have a form of godliness. Perhaps you have tradition. But you do not have salvation. Maybe you feel that heaviness, that anxiety, that fear, insecurity. But God so loved us that He gave His Son. He did not spare Himself. Jesus was led away like a lamb to the slaughter for you. So that you can freely come, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been involved in or entangled in right now, you can come right now and respond to Him, and He will accept you. And He will forgive you. And He will bring you near. And He will sprinkle clean water on you and cleanse you of all your uncleanness and all of your idols and remove that broken heart from your chest and give you a new heart and a new spirit. And He will give you the power to live for Him. And you will realize that you are loved. And knowing that will heal you on the inside in ways that you can't even understand. So I want to ask, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, if you do not serve Him, if you do not have peace with God right now, and you want to respond to this message of the gospel, I want to ask that you lift up your hand, that we may see and that we may pray with you.